Amen. That's awesome. I like that. Black people sing that last one, and they really get with it. And I tried to shut my eyes and think they were still singing. But anyway, hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. And I'm just glad. I'm not going to preach long. These guys, because Dan told me not to. But I thought about Dan. Some people are like clouds. When they disappear, it's a beautiful day. Shoot. Brother Dan, been raising cows. I mean, he's been feeding them marijuana. He said he wanted a good pot roast. Wow. That old man alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, it's great choir singing and all is singing tonight. Praise the Lord for that. Let's look in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40, beginning verse 28. Verse 28. And it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I want to preach tonight on "I'm tired, but I'm not too tired." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the good songs that have been given by these dear men tonight and the ladies. We thank you for the choir. It's all magnifying and of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. And for a few moments, let me have liberty and freedom to preach the word of God that has been laid up on my heart. And I pray to be a blessing and a challenge to all of us. Lord Jesus, I'm glad you're still on the throne and ready and willing and waiting for us to just keep on preaching and living and singing until Jesus comes. And it looks like it might be any time. But for a few moments, let me magnify you through the preaching of God's holy word. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. I'd like to, again, I said I'm tired, but I'm not too tired. I'm tired of false prophets. I'm tired of Rick Warrens and Joel Osteens and the Moonies and the New Agers and the Jehovah Witnesses. I'm tired. The Bible said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 2, "There shall be many false teachers among you who privately shall bring damnable heresies, denying the Lord that bought them, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. They offer religion, but not reality." They offer religion, but not reality. I was over in Chattanooga when I pastored there many years ago. And a young man and his wife, just young, recently had gotten married. And they were connected to a lady in our church and so on. And after a few weeks, they hadn't been married long, I don't remember this, but a very short time. And they'd gone to a party and got drunk and they got killed after that party that night. And I went to the Catholic church over there in Chattanooga, and they gave you a little bulletin out with several pages, and he was reading off the fact of about the young man. And he got then, I'm reading that, and he said, when he was born again, and I looked up. You know when he said he was born again? When he was born. I thought, my, hey, can you imagine? No, I didn't get saved when I was born, but I got saved when I was 12. What I'm trying to say, they talk about, they offer change, but not church. And the Catholics, they talk about purgatory. They ain't no such a place as purgatory. And they offer formality, but they don't have the glory. They do not have the, they got the deadness. Not only that, I'm tired of the flesh. I don't know about you, but Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Hey, I do not. Hey, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I am the flesh. It's wicked and it's weak, and everything. But the scripture talks about a lot of things in the Bible, and he says here in the Gospel of Matthew, watch and pray that you enter not into the temptation of these things. Not only that, I'm tired of storms. I don't know about you. I faced a lot of storms in my life. Psalm 55 and verse 6 and 8. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for I would fly away and be at rest. And lo, I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, I want to wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah, I should think about that. I'm tired. You're, maybe tonight, some of you here are facing storms. Maybe, I mean, pastors always are going through some kind of, seem like a little storm. Now, I'm tired of storms. I don't know about you that are coming, but not only that, I'm tired of fault finders. It seems some people in our churches and everywhere else have a special gift of the wrong in others. I mean, they can hear a sin drop a mile away. I'm talking about these people are. I tell you, one time I was in a meeting up in North Carolina, and the preacher's wife was sitting in the back seat and was going out through there, and she said, "Hey, preacher, have you heard about so and so?" And I said, "Is it good or bad?" She said, "Well, it's not good." I said, "I don't want to hear it." She said, "You don't want to hear it?" I said, "No." I said to her, "Are you a hypocrite?" "Well, no, but," I said, "I tell you what, you will be if you tell me." And so I'm tired of facing storms. See, the Bible says a talebearer reveals secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm tired, but I'm not too tired. I'm too tired, not too tired to keep on preaching. Somebody said, "Preacher, are you tired?" Listen, I ain't got tired. I'm preaching the Word of God. The Bible says, I thank Paul. First Timothy says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Hey, what I'm trying to say, I go, listen, I think about this a lot. I think about it a lot. Hey, so I said, "Hey, how'd you know you was called to preach?" "Well, one morning I got up and didn't want to go to work, and I got to craving chicken. Because when I was growing up, now, I don't know where you heard, some of you haven't heard my chicken poem. But I've eat chicken young, I've eat chicken old, I've eat chicken hot, eat chicken cold. And when I'm dead and in my grave, no more chicken will I crave. But on my grave marker, please note that 10,000 chickens went down my throat." Hallelujah. Right here in the Word of God. Hey, when I was growing up, and in my days, my early days, my children ate last. They said, "Now you wait till the grown-ups eat." Now, I remember this preacher. Now, I'm just a young boy. But I remember his last name. He made an impression on me. I'm talking about he got the pulley bone and he got the breast and all the good meat. And I ended up with a neck and back. And I said, "Lord, call me to preach." What I'm trying to say, listen, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. It pleases God by the preaching of the divine word of God Almighty. I'm not tired. You know, a lot of people say, I like good singing. I do too. But I like good preachers that still preaches the word of God. And listen, it pleases God. It pleases God by the foolishness of preachers. It pierces your heart. Old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing preachers. I mean, you preach the word of God and it tears your heart up, but there's peace. I'm glad there's peace in the midst of our storm. Thank God for that. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I go through. I'm glad I got somebody that loves me enough to redeem me. What I'm trying to say, not only redeem me, but call me to preach the precious word of God. I know I'm the least of all preachers, but I'm glad I'm enjoying preaching the precious word of God. And you ought to pray for your pastor every day. I'm talking about pray for him. And boy, if you really want him to preach a good, keep on preaching good. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, pray for him. And it pleases God, and he pardons sinners. I like this. I will therefore that all men pray everywhere, lifting up with holy hands. Just keep on praying. I'm not tired to keep on praying. I'm not tired. When I got saved, and a bunch of other young boys got saved, and we'd go up in Alabama, up there in Fort Payne. You go out there a little ways in a mountain. As you come down out of Chattanooga, and you could climb up a ladder. In fact, I got a picture of it in my pocketbook. And we'd go up there on Monday night. You could fill that place with 40 boys. I mean, man, they put a front on it. And in the wintertime, you'd go up there. And it was in that hole in the rock that God called me to preach. And from that then, young men, I mean, several were called to preach. Some came to become Sunday school teachers. But it's all because we'd go up there and pray. And then the men, they'd go up on Saturday night. And a lot of times they'd pray all night. But see, when you come the next morning, I tell you, you didn't have to crank up much and had your old hymn books, and they start singing. Next thing you know, there's a shouting and praising God. What I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad, thank God, and that I am been called to preach the word of God. Woo! Hey! Jesus has been good to me. But not only that, I'm not too tired to keep on praying. I want to ask you, how much do you pray a day? How much do you pray? I'm no stronger. You're no stronger than your prayer life. I tell you, talking. I mentioned it this morning. Talking is talking to God, and he enjoys it. Listen, and we need to be praying for our Lord Jesus Christ to come again. Let me give you a verse of scripture. That's one of my favorite in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 33 and verse 3. And it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Now listen to this, the last part. Which thou knowest not. Which you do not know. I remember Samuel said to me one time, said, Dad, the next prayer might be the answer. You know, I ever know. But I'm just saying, he said, hey, I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. 7 years ago, and he's married, and Andrew came along, and was giving a birthday thing or something, a Christmas maybe it was. But he told his mom, he said, Mom, I want you to buy me a set of golf clubs. And she said, well, son, we can buy those for you. Well, that's what I want. And said, if you can't, buy me a suit. Well, what we did, we met. We gave Andrew all his stuff, and he's sitting over there. And I said, hey, Tom. And we had gotten an old golf club. I mean, if you'd have swung it one time, it head would go, rusted. And I'd had it wrapped up, and Tommy went out and got it and come up, and Sammy opened it up and said, yeah, thanks a lot. But I said, I've got something you don't know. I've got something you don't know. People passed out. Sammy just kind of sitting there, you know, getting butts. And when it got through, with all the other, I said, oh, by the way, I went over and got that driver and handed it to him. He said, yeah, thanks. But I got some more you don't know. I didn't tell him that. Finally, I went over and got all of those irons, a set of them. Man was needed money. And it cost me less than $100 to get both of them. But at the same time, when I opened it up, he said, thanks, Dad. He said, now you can buy me a suit. That's the way these guys are. They're not satisfied. What I'm saying, thank God, I pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. But he's got some things, Brother Snyder, that you don't know about. God's got some things for you you don't know about. And if you don't ask him, if you don't pray, you're not going to get it. But God's got things for you. I'm talking about there's been times in my life and God would do something and I said, wow. But God got something every day. In Christmas, they, you don't get the best thing first. I mean, they don't give you the top one first. You begin with the socks and the this and that and the other. And then you save the best till the last. Well, that's the way the Lord is. Y'all get in on this after a while. I'm just talking about Jesus, hallelujah. He's got something you don't even know about. He's got things that he wants to do for us. He's got things he wants to do for the church. I'm talking about, hey, I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, hey, just keep on, keep on. You're praying for your kids, keep on. You're praying for a job, keep on. If you're praying for your church, keep on. Sometimes we pray and the answer comes and quit praying. But I'm telling you, you have not because you ask not. My Father is rich in houses and lands. I'm just talking about just keep on. He wants you to come and hear. That's why we have Jubilees. You may be here tonight. Some of you are going through a trial. I mentioned a minute ago. Maybe you need something from God. Or maybe there was a time you lived closer to God. I'm glad you're here tonight because the Lord says, we will be blessed of God. Hey, people, others, they do be dropping off like fleas. A lot of people. And so on. Listen, let me tell you. In spite of bickering, keep on going. In spite of bitterness, keep on going. In spite of battles, keep on going. How many times as a pastor, well, preach, I just don't think I can take any more. Oh, listen, the next day that answer may come. The next one up in Virginia, West Virginia, or North Carolina, and this lady come up to me and she said, preacher, why am I afraid to die? I said, well, let me give you a good illustration. A lot of people ask that question, why am I afraid to die? Well, you like to live. But what I'm trying to say, Dr. Harold Sattler said one time he was on an airplane, and they thought they was going to crash. I mean, even the pilots and the stewardess, they thought he was going to crash, but he landed. Dr. Sattler said, I got inside. He said, Lord, why was I afraid to die? And something inside said, you wasn't going to die. It's that moment that you come to that time. I remember old Tom just grinned when he crossed over. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, hey, in spite of all these things and everything and the battles and all the things that that happens to you and me, just keep on going. Hey, church, this could be, this Jubilee could be the greatest thing that you've seen in many years. I long for the day the people will get, just realize that I just keep on pressing. Just keep a going. And I press toward the mark of the prize of the, hey, this is not all there are to it. No, man, there's something bigger. There's something better. There's something that God wants to give you if you'll just keep on the plug. Woo, hallelujah. I'm just talking about, listen, last of all, I'm not tired, but I don't mind keep on praising God. You know what? Psalm 33 said, 22, but thou art holy, O thou that, listen, that inhabits the praise of Israel. He said, you inhabit the praise I mean, that's to live in the praise of God. I've never, ever, but one time told a person that I was discouraged. Not only that was my wife. I made it a practice all these years to not tell people if I was going. And I went through a lot of them. At that Chattanooga, I remember men, right short order, two young boys, 14 years of age, got killed in my church. And that man, if you just don't understand, here's a young man, he'd come to the house and eat with Samuel. He got killed, and his dad and mom were longtime friends. And I'm telling you, it was just terrible. And then I had about 30-something people in hospitals. And I was visiting, going here, going there. And all these things, and I was going to others that were affected. And I remember I came home. I'd gone to a hospital in Erlanger, there in Chattanooga, and here's a man, and I was praying for him. I said, "Lord, I don't have anything left. I'm praying for him." I said, "I don't have it." And so I got home. Joy's out in the yard. I said, "Come on, babe, get in the car." She said, "What is it?" I said, "Come on, get in the car." She said, got in the car. I said, "What is it?" I said, "I went over to pray for that man. And I need somebody to pray for me. I don't have anything left." She said, "I've never seen you that way." I said, "I've never been this way. I've never." Said, "What are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to resign." She said, "Resign? But honey, look how God's blessing the church. And people are being saved every week and all that." And I said, "I know it. But I just don't have it no more." And we got in. She got in the car and went on down. We ate. And of course, like I say, I was on television every Sunday morning and watched my program and got happy watching me preach. If you're in bad, shape. If you don't preach, it don't help you. But anyway, I walked in, and man, I heard somebody say, "Hey, preacher, how you doing?" Well, when I was a kid, I was told you could cross your fingers and tell a lie, and it didn't count. I crossed my fingers, and I said, "Great, man." He said, "I watched your program yesterday morning. Said you stirred me up." Said, "I hollered at my wife, said, 'Come on, get ready, we're going to church. This preacher's got me stirred up.' But here's the kicker." He said, "Preacher, whatever you do, don't ever quit." Wow. I scooted down in the booth and started crying. George said, "What is it?" I said, "I'm ready to go again." What I'm trying to say, we all have those low periods, but thank God we got a Savior. We got somebody who takes care of us. Hey, the Bible says praise is comely. It exalts the Lord. I'm talking about it exalts our Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it spreads as well. If somebody sees you, and like I say, you have a Lord that's worth serving, you have a Lord and to have salvation that's worth having. I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm 34, and I want to show you something. I was reading this afternoon and everything, but listen to what he says now. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I thought, praise God. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his..." Woo! Hey, let us exalt his name together. "I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all..." I got words circling in my Bible. "All my fears." Hallelujah. They looked unto him and were lightened. And the Bible said, "And their faces were not ashamed." The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Somebody ought to be hollering right now. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers him. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Did you hear that? He said, the young lads do lack and suffer, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. I know what I've got. It's a good thing to God. The Lord knows the good things. Hasn't God been good to you? Raise your hand real high. Hey, he's got more for you. He got more for you. That's what these jubilees are for. To come and just get recharged again and walk out of here and say, thank God, I'm a new person. I'm saved. But God did something special for me. Woo! Hallelujah! Jesus Christ, the darling Lamb of God, did it all for you and for me. Hallelujah. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling to God. Hey, the Lord's been good to every one of us. I'm going to say one more time. Nobody ought to stay in a low state. God's been good to us. When I began in the ministry of evangelism full time, I told my wife, I said, honey, now what I'm going to say, I'm not bragging about what I'm going to say. And I don't want you to accept it that way. But I felt impressed to give 20%, and we still do. And I'm just saying that it was our choice. But in my first revival meeting, a young man over in North Carolina, pastoring a church, and church wasn't treating him good, wasn't taking care of him, had a wife, just had a baby, his car was broken down. And so when I got my check, the money, they gave you money instead of checks, and I said, honey, just take out our tithe, and we'll give the rest to the pastor. And we did. So my first week, my first revival, I didn't get anything. The next week, I was going to help them in Sunday school and on a Wednesday night, and tell them how, that through your Sunday school. If Sunday school classes wanted to grow, it grows the whole church. And so I spoke Wednesday night. He didn't take an offering. I didn't preach. And another guy preached Saturday night. He came in singing, this, that, and another. Sunday morning, he didn't take an offering. Sunday night, he didn't take an offering. And I was just sitting there. But at the end of the service, here's what he said. He said, we'll not give singers more than we do preachers. And I said, amen. You remember that, pal? They took an offering, handed it to me. $3,000. Hey, you should have heard Joy shout. She don't shout much, but she did then. What it is, God knows your need. God knows if you've gotten cold. God knows if you're not walking where you should walk. He knows that. But after all that he's done for me, I don't know, I've preached in hundreds of churches, and I don't mean that bragging. I've preached in foreign countries. I'm not bragging about it, I'm just telling you. Old country boy. I've preached into some of the largest churches, and in my mission work sometimes I have 20, 25. But I preach them just like I do when my house is full. And I got to thinking about the nations I've preached in and the churches. I think I've preached in 30-some different churches, or states rather. But I'm nothing but a country boy. But God sure had been good to me. Amen. God's been good to every one of you.
and I owe him everything. God's got something for you. Do you hunger? Don't just come to church and sit and listen. Tell others about what God did for you. You got lost loved ones. Many of you came down and prayed for those this morning. Get a burden, get it broken. I believe, according to the things that are going on, I mentioned this morning. But Snyder and I had lunch together today, and our wives, and you got such a wonderful pastor. I'm telling you, you really don't know how thankful you ought to be to him who cares so much for you. Is that all you want to tell him?
We got some more people coming in.
Yeah. Pray for him. Join with him. His desire is to see you grow spiritually, and his desire is to see you grow in number as well. God's got some great things. I'm tired, but I'm not too tired. Lily Mae Evans, down in Alabama years ago, we lived in the country. Her husband's name was Leonard. Had two children, a boy and a girl. Lily Mae Evans was, to me, one of the greatest Christians I ever met in my life. I'm talking about, buddy, she was a godly woman. And I remember her husband. Now, my dad had raised peaches and apples around our house and down behind where there was a creek. And everything, and just about a quarter of a mile of Evans family. And he died. Her husband died. She never remarried. But here's what she would do. I can hear her just as if it's plain as I heard it while ago. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Leonard's gone. What am I going to do? I can hear now. But it wouldn't be long. She'd go, whoa, whoa. That's how you make it to prayer, commitment, and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to die tonight, Would the Lord say, you know, Bible said, Little John, it says, some would be ashamed before him at his coming. Can you imagine facing God with not one soul? Can you imagine facing God and only time you prayed when you wanted something? He's got the record. When I was in work at DuPont, they kept a record. I had to face it. Carl Owens, good Christian man. He said to me in the service, in the army, and working public work, they called me Tommy. He said, Tommy, I got to go over your record upstairs on the second shift. So I got up there that night, and he said, Tommy, how much are you going to be making? I said, $50 a week. He said, did you know they watched you work? And they had plans to make you a supervisor? And on to the next level, because they've watched you. I think a person, a Christian, ought to be the best worker you got. And I thought to myself before, did you ever see me loafing? Had a little place up here, you look down, a little square envelope or window, And they'd throw that nylon down through that tube and you'd put it down here. Had certain positions that you had to keep clean on each shift and so on. You did that. I always thought, give them your best or whatever you do. I got a promotion in the Army because they'd watched me. And I sat there. And there's my record right there in front of me. I broke out in sweat. There it is. What kind of a record is it? And it opened it up. And it talked like I was telling you a minute ago. And then it took it and closed it down. Said, you got the best record on my shift. I walked out of there, and I started crying. I said, oh, Lord, when I come before you, I'd like to hear you say, Tommy David Burgess, you got a good record. Amen. Hey, I'm just talking about it gets better down the road. Let's stand all over the house, will you? Amen. You should come and pray or play. And Brother Snyder's going to come here in a minute. And commit yourself tonight to the Lord. If you've got somebody lost or away from God, come down here and pray for them. If you're here tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed, is anybody here tonight say, preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Is anyone here that way tonight? All over the house, anywhere. We're just glad to have all of you here. While your heads are bowed, how many of you tonight? I'm just talking about how many of you are going to give God your best. How many of you tonight, purpose in your heart, you'll be more committed, reaching the lost, missions and all the things. Hey, God only knows. We'd like to hear him say, well done. The old black preacher said, I don't want him to say half done. Hallelujah. You're making a record. I know it's Jubilee. Good. Time of rejoicing and all. We've had it tonight. But also it's time to search your hearts for the glory of God. But Snyder's coming. Finish the invitation. But if you feel the need to pray, please. Got somebody lost, come and pray. Got somebody, son or daughter or friend or husband or wife or somebody. God may hold you responsible if they die lost or have to have chasing of God. So all I want you to do is mind the Lord while Brother Snyder comes.
Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but inside your spirit,